Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Welcome to our webinar, Microsoft Azure Websites. My name is Katya Belkina, and I'm from Product Marketing in Microsoft, and I will be helping with this webinar today. Some housekeeping items. Our webinar will run approximately 45 minutes. We will have Q&A session at the end. During the webinar, feel free to type in your questions in the questions answers widget. It should be on your right. We will send an email with the recording and slides tomorrow. Now let's move along with our session. Please welcome Apurva Joshi, Senior Program Manager at Microsoft. Let's get started.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Apurva Joshi. Go by AJ. I'm a program manager with Azure Websites team, and today we'll be talking about how to troubleshoot and diagnose issues with Azure Websites. So with that said, let's get going. So before we dive into the kind of things that we can do to understand the issues and how do we troubleshoot, I wanted to take some time to classify the type of issues that customers usually experience, right? In any given service, at a high level, there are three top type of the issues that people usually experience. And the first and the most easy one is the general FAQs, which usually does not have any SLA impact because at that time you're probably trying to get your subscription started, or if your subscription is disabled, you want to get it re-enabled or move asset from one subscription to another, etc. And that's usually a pretty straightforward, and it doesn't give much grief to the customers. The second category, and the most important one where we will be spending majority of time today, is the customer reported issues, right? We call these issues as something that our live monitoring system does not pick it up. It's something an individual customer or a set of customers are experiencing, and the issue starts getting reported in forums or Twitter or our support channel via means of a customer. And these issues have two subset of categories. You know, when we call it an application issue, these issues, they might look like a service issue, but usually ends up being specific to an application that is hosted on the Azure websites or any given service. It usually has an SLA impact, but it's limited to a very specific customer, and that's we call as the application issue category. The second category we call is a platform bug, right? It does have an SLA impact. It might affect one customer or multiple customers, but it's not a service-wide issue, right? There might be something that is broken in the service or introduced as a bug that is impacting a set number of customers, right? And that's another subcategory. And the last one we call is the platform issues, right? Which is where there is a specific issue given with the service or Azure websites where there's a SLA impact, most likely to majority for customers or big set of customers. And in this category, you guys have very little control over what can be done to actually resolve the issue. This is when my team's woken up and they're working 24/7 to try and fix the issues and implement a workaround and whatnot, right? So that's the at high level our three categories of issues. And in today's presentation, we'll be spending majority of the time seeing what is available today in a category of customer reported issues and what steps that we have taken as a service to make that experience better. And we'll briefly touch on what all the things that we've done around the platform issues and especially around notifying people about an outgoing platform issue and having a better communication from that point on. All right, so with that said, let's move on to the next slide. So what is available for diagnostics and troubleshooting as of today in Azure websites? As majority of you guys know, Azure website is a fully hosted, managed service where you as a customer have a very limited control over the actual computer or the VM itself, right? And we try and provide you as much as data and the logs that that's possible, and we continuously invest in building that experience even more managed and better from that point on. But as of today, you know, there are a specific set of logs that are available for all of us to consume, and they're usually helpful in leading us in the right direction. They might not always tell us exactly what is wrong, but it helps us start peeling the onion, right? So to put it. So the first one is HTTP logs. Everyone's familiar with the HTTP logs. They basically tell you what the status code was returned for your application and whatnot. Pretty straightforward. It gives it at a high level tells you what and which request failed, and that's about it. Then we also provide you detailed error messages, which is something that you can go ahead and turn on for your website, and we try and possibly give you more detailed call stacks or information on what can you do with the one specific billing request, and that's that. The third one and the most important one, or most frequently used one, especially in the scenarios of trying to understand what happened in the request pipeline, and where the failure or the performance or the slowness is coming from, it's called the fail request tracing logs. And we'll see in our demos, etc., how to use that and what it means and what it looks like. We do provide you application logging that you can turn on, which is basically for your .NET, the system diagnostics logs that you can store somewhere and try and get more information. We have a logging for the different languages that we support in the platform today, like PHP, Node.js, Java, and we'll see some demos around how these logs are built and what they look like and what kind of automation we've built around this to help you guys, right? And finally, there's an event log that you can access and try and see, make some sense out of it. Apart from that, there is a very specific endpoint to every single website that we call as a Kudu or an SCM endpoint that has a more rich diagnostics capability and things that we leverage, and we'll see them in demo. We will spend majority of the time talking about the support portal that we built, right? This is a very unique site extension that we guys have built, where we have tried and automate a majority of the troubleshooting and diagnostics experiences and processes, and try and make it as simple as we can for customers to at least try and understand what is going on when the site misbehaves or there's some issue happening. And finally, there's an application insight and a new management portal that gives a good set of monitoring. We will not be touching that in today's session. And with that said, let's go ahead and jump right into demos. I'm going to start sharing my screen, and we'll spend the majority of the webinar in the screen share, and we'll take it from there. Hopefully, the screen has started sharing now at this point, and we'll start tackling scenarios one by one. Okay. So I've logged on to my the current Azure portal, and I have a bunch of sites, and one of the sites that I've called is the prep demo site, where I'm going to quickly go ahead and show you guys where the majority of the logging and everything that can be configured or has been configured. So if you scroll down, here's there's always on, and the application diagnostics, where you can turn on your system.net logging or system diagnosis logging to a specific place or not. But here's the site diagnostics. This is where you turn on your logging, right? Web server logging basically allows you to turn on logging for your website and set a retention policy to your file system. A detailed error messages is something that we talked about. I'm going to go ahead and turn it on. And the failed request tracing is another one. And then remote debug, etc. Right. So for the demo of this specific scenario, I'm really interested in is to turning on the failed request tracing. Okay. So I'll go ahead and turn the logging on, and we will start spending the majority of the time not in this specific site, but the SCM or the Kudu endpoint that I talked about. So let's see how can we access the Kudu endpoint for a given website. So let me just browse through the site. After a cold start, it's my nice little back bakery set that you can see at the site. If I go ahead and just change the endpoint to say .scm, right, and basically hit enter, it will log me in using single sign-on because I'm already logged on to the portal. But if not, then it will prompt you for credentials and you can log and use your credentials to basically log that in. This is what we call as a Kudu console and our diagnostics console. It has a bunch of good information that we can use to help us troubleshoot things. The one that I like the most is basically a debug console, right, where I can have a command prompt or a PowerShell. And it kind of gives me an experience that's similar to logging onto the VM itself. Even though we will be executing a bunch of stuff within the sandbox, but you can pretty much upload certain things that plays within within the sandbox of the websites and executing some diagnostic stuff. For example, procdump, right? If you were to be using, say you wanted to generate memory dumps of your process or whatnot, you can always upload a procdump or the debugger along with your content, navigate to that directory from here, and then basically use a command line to capture memory dumps or whatnot. I will not be covering that at this point, for now. So this demo, I want to show you how do we use the field request tracing to basically troubleshoot a given issue. And before we get to that point, let's go back and browse to the site one more time. And I want to show the issue at this point. Like if I were to be, say, trying to order a carrot cake, and you will see it's spinning, and it's taking a little long time. And at this point, I would really like to understand what is going on, right? Why is my application or site very slow? And this falls into one of those customer reported issues that we talked about. Eventually will come up, but that's that, right? So the good news is that I had turned on the FREB logging from the portal, which by default actually traces the failure code, not non-200. Basically the non-200 response, not the 200 OK responses. So if I want to trace the 200 OK but a slow performance responses, I have to do one additional step, and I'll go back here to the diagnostics console, and I'll show you what I had previously done basically to make this happen. I'll go to my www root and edit the web.config file right from here, and I can basically show you what I've done. I've added a snippet for tracing, and you know you can always bring this fail request tracing, and you will find a blog that basically with the samples to copy paste these contents in it, where I'm basically adding a tracing a request for all the specific provider events and for the status code of 200. And the path that I'm tracing is order/1, which happens to be the site that was spinning slowly, right? And since I already had that configured FREB turned on, this should have generated a FREB log for me to understand what actually went wrong, right? So I'm gonna go ahead and go back to the diagnostics console again, cancel out from here, we go up one more, and I'll show you where the log is being created. It's created or generated under a folder called log files, where your HP logs are, and a specific name that starts with WTSVC, and these are your FREB logs. If I were to click on it, and I'll see the one that was just created for the slow request that we were browsing, I'll go ahead and open this log. Voila, as you can see, it traced a very specific request for a 200 OK response. It tells me it took about 15 seconds to render that page. And I want to find out where in the pipeline of the request processing these 15 seconds were spent. So for that, I will go to the request detail section. And there's a specific tab that I can look for as a performance view. When I click on it, it basically lines down the amount of time spent in milliseconds in the pipeline on which event or whatnot. So all I have to do is just basically try and sort this, and 15 seconds were actually spent into a spinet pipeline leave event. So I'll click on view trace at this point, and it takes me right where it tells me, hey, I have a module called lazy module. Lazy module is probably the method where I'm spending the majority of the time, and that's where the delay is coming from, right? It's pretty cool. It helps you understand or get to a point where we can start engaging our developers and do more stuff. And in further demos, we'll show you how do we even get more detailed information, including the call stack on where exactly this module is functioning and whatnot. But this is a good start, right? So that's one of the scenarios. The other one that I have in this application is if I were to go back and if I try and order a pear tart, and it gives me an error, right? And as you had already seen, I had turned on the Fredbar for this specific path for 500 requests as well. So I can always go back and say, yeah, this is the second one that was just created. And let's see what it's trying to tell me. And it tells me yes for that patch. I got 500 response, and the response was, again, coming from this specific module, the internal server that has happened, right? So it's pretty good, straightforward, you know, helps you get to quite a bit of detail on what could be causing the slowness. Fantastic. I'm going to go ahead and close this specific demo out, and then we'll jump into the second demo where we will see more advanced scenarios and explore the support portal where you can actually dive more deeper to these issues and try and see what is actually causing them. Okay. So let me just browse through this guy. This I have another site we call as a demo dad. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and actually go back to this SCM endpoint for the demo dad and make sure the site is up and running as well. So the site is basically has the famous buggy bit application, and I go back to the CUDA console for demo dads. One thing I want to show you guys real quick is that every CUDA console has a process explorer, right? Which is which basically is like your task manager, and it gives you a view into all the processes that are running within the sandbox of that website. So as you can see, we have a WTWP.exe that is actually hosting the application with a pair of 2.0.6.4, and then we have another WTWP that we separate process for the SCM endpoint where we're hosting the CUDA endpoints and whatnot. The DAS runner is another one that's basically a web job that enables the advanced support scenarios that we are about to see. But there are a lot of cool things that we can do. We can look at the properties, what module has been loaded, how long the process has been running for. You can kill the process from here. You can download a memory dump. You can download a GC dump. The only disadvantage here is like if you were to be running multiple instances for your website, and when you connect to a CUDA endpoint, it picks one of them and just connects you to that specific one. And we'll see how we solve that problem in when we start looking at the support portal detail. But for now, if you want to say kill, it's probably going to go ahead and kill that specific worker process onto the machine of your scale.website that you've been connected to. It's pretty useful, right? You can say threads, the environment variables, the modules, the handles. Very useful, right? Similarly, there's a shortcut. You can right-click, kill, download dumps, memory dumps, and then take them or download them offline and process them if you will. All right, so going back to the DAS demo. So I'm at that debug console. Out of the CUDA console, and what I want to show you guys is the next step of the support portal that we built, where we are trying to give you an advanced monitoring and diagnostics, and that hopefully will solve a majority of your application-specific issue, or at least try and help you understand where they're coming from. So the way you get to the support portal is by go to the log on to CUDA console, click on Tools, and then click on Support. What this is going to go do is basically help me do a single sign-on and logs me into the support portal at this point to a specific website that I was interested in. And right off the bat, you can see what we're trying to do here is trying to provide you a near-live monitoring of your HTTP traffic, right? And it is about 20 seconds delayed. But as your site's getting traffic, we just keep on updating that real time and tell you how many, what's your request per second, and what's the server error that you're getting. And just to make this more real, I'm going to go ahead and run a load test on this specific site so we can start seeing. I just hit a load test, and in a few seconds, we will start seeing that the load should start going up. And you can see it in real time that how much your how much RPS and the server failure that you're experiencing on that given site. Now, while that load's ramping up, real quick, you can basically view the RPS per host name. So for example, if you have multiple sites behind a traffic manager and you just want to monitor the traffic for one given data center right here, you see the load, it took about 10 seconds for it to start trending right away, which is pretty fantastic. But yeah, going back here, you can basically choose whichever host name that you would like to monitor traffic for, right? If you have multiple sites behind a traffic manager, you can pick one region and monitor that. By default, you monitor all of them because we do the aggregation and tell you what it is, right? So yeah, getting about 60 requests per second, and 30 of them are feeling not too good. But I get an idea there's something wrong, right? It's something I can put on my monitor or on a hallway somewhere to keep an eye on the health of my website. Pretty fantastic, right? So that's what we do. If you click on the site itself, it tells you what the school you're running on, which location the site is in, the web hosting plan it is in, and whatnot. Okay, here comes the more important part, right? So while this is going on, I can go ahead and just stop the test for now. Analyze. So we're moving away from the observe. The analyze part has a bunch of stuff that we can actually use to diagnose and troubleshoot stuff for a given website. Right off the bat, it takes you to the diagnostic section where we have something what we call a DAS, and we'll touch on this briefly and what it looks like. Let's cover the most easy ones. It's the event viewer, right? So when I click on the event viewer for demo DAS website, what it does, it basically gives me the events, the aggregated events across all the instances the demo DAS website's been running on, right? If I remember correctly, this site has been scaled out to run on two instances. Let me just go ahead and change it to two instances. Okay. And while that's doing it, it basically picks the event and error logs from those instances, combine them together, and shows you what is happening and whatnot, right? So these are the majority of the errors that are coming in, as we're seeing. It's probably coming from my application. Here's the call stack or whatnot, and you can basically sort by warnings, errors, date, time, whatever you like, just like your regular event viewer. The only difference is it will pull from however many instances that you got. Another important part is the site metrics, right? Over here, what we try to do, and let me just go ahead and, as you can see, there's one instance at this point because the page has already been refreshed, and I was running on one single instance. So for that given instance, it gives me the amount of CPU and a memory that site has been using on that specific instance, right? So if you have multiple instances, and if you're trying to troubleshoot an issue and see if one of them is bad, you get a good sense of which one's doing more work or which one's in a bad situation. And if you choose to restart the worker process on that instance, you can do it from right here. Instead of restarting your entire website and taking all the instances down, you can just have a very targeted recovery if you choose to do so. So let me just go ahead and do a refresh just to make sure it does pick it up in the second instance as well. And the second instance might not be spinned up if I'm not getting enough requests, but yeah, well, at least it's been assigned to me, right? So now, as you see, I changed the scale. I have both the instances here. I can go back and forth and see which one's doing what, right? So this one's probably the new one that just got spinned out. It doesn't have any CPU or memory or any requests coming in. This is the one that was doing the majority of the work previously. You can basically choose to see just one of them, both of them. Similarly, you do see the HTTP statistic for that site on that given instance, right? 2xx, 3xx, or average response time. And it all usually gives you a good idea if one instance is lower than the other one or whatnot, right? Similarly, you can do the network stats, right? So the biggest difference on this compared to the Azure portal would be is that this gives you data that is not aggregated, but it's very instance specific and a very targeted for one given site. And so it helps you, again, nail down or peel the onion more further to see what I'm troubleshooting and what I should be looking at. This is the last part of ClearDB. I'm going to leave that for the last demo. So moving on to the diagnose part, and this is the most important part, right? You suspect there's something wrong with your website, and you would like to understand what is happening, apart from just running your failed request tracing and see, okay, here's the module or whatnot, right? So I can simply come here to diagnostics and then say, you know what, settings I'll change, and there are a bunch of things that I can configure as my default settings. I can say, you know what, collect the event logs, collect the memory dumps of the process that is hosting my website, collect the HTTP logs, collect PHP logs, collect the PHP process reports, whatever you like, save, and then keep that as a default settings. And then right when the issue is happening, you can come back and just say, you know what, let me just try and see if I can reproduce the issue here. I'll just click on all products. It takes a little longer. But I can just now, the page is spinning. I come back here and click Diagnose Now. If I were to click Diagnose Now at this point, it's going to go ahead and collect the data from both the instances. Instead, I want to be more specific, and I know this one specific guy is doing it. I'm going to go ahead and click Diagnose Now from here on. So when I do this, submitting a setting based a session based on the settings that I had, and then I can come back here and see there's a new session that has started. My settings just wanted to collect the memory dumps of the process and the HTTP logs. So it's going to go ahead and collect those logs first, and it's going to try and build an automated analysis, because we know what to do with these WCWP processes or PHP processes and try and make sense out of it, right? And try and give you guys more detailed information on what could be going wrong. So while this is running, in the interest of the time, I'm going to go back and show you some of the previously ran sessions report and show you what they look like. So here's one analysis that it built based on just the HTTP logs. It just parsed the HTTP logs that it found on your file system, and it tells you the different request distribution type, which requests are taking the maximum time, minimum time, what is the average response time, what are your top 20 long requests, what is the top 20 hits, PHP page, the slowest page, and whatnot. So one thing to keep in mind, this is like a reactive, right? At point in time analysis, not like some job running all the time and pointing, analyzing all of your logs, right? So this is an example of HTTP logs. I want to go ahead and show you one example of the memory dump parser. So here's what the memory dump parser looks like when it's done. And this is actually a real life example of one of the customers, so complaining about his .NET application running really, really slow. He came back here when it was slow, clicked on a DAS with the memory dump, and this is a report that it generated. What it's trying to show you here is at the top, it basically tells you what kind of process it is and what warnings and error it found. Right here, it tells you in this specific site or process, I found a thread 26 that's trying to open up a database connection and indicating some problem connecting to a remote database, right? That explains to you, yes, if you're not able to connect to your database or looping through, you're probably going to have a slow response time. In some cases, it finds some exceptions and it tries to provide you a prescriptive guidance as well. If I were to click on this and this take time goes call stack, or probably click on that and then it takes you to KB acknowledgements article or MSDN article, whatever applicable. Not in this case though. So here's what I'm going to go click on 26 and I want to see what's happening here. On thread 26, it builds a nice call stack at that given time and tells you what exactly is happening, right? So here your application is calling and trying to call into a database, and it's trying to connect, and it seems to be spinning. It tries to give you a database connection string, etc. And at that point, when this report was presented back to customer, he goes like, aha, my connection string is for my development environment. It's not even trying to connect to the actual database. And that explains why this is spinning, right? It gives you a native call stack, a bunch of stuff, right? That is very, very useful, right? Here's the request that was running, how long that was running for. In some cases, it will try and give you detailed memory reports and what they look like and whatnot, right? So, you know, you can start playing around with it and start seeing the results. And, you know, it's just as simple as showing this to your developer, and he or she will probably know what's going on. So, for example, for this one, I think the page rendered very fast, so this report might not have anything. But you can see here multiple report ones, and we'll just try and open one of them. That will look exactly the same as the sample one that we looked at. Right here, a number of active sessions, this cloud, right here, the GC usage. You can look at the memory usage, which thread was doing what, where was the exception, how the memory's been distributed at the bottom of the report. Here, which modules are using how much memory, whatnot. It's pretty useful, right? And just in time, no tools. You didn't have to install any tool. You don't have to configure your application for to capture all this stuff, you had to come one place and click on a single button to diagnose now, and that just took care of that, right? Pretty fantastic. And it does a similar thing, not only for .NET, it does the same thing for PHP as well, right? So I'll show you some of the PHP reports, right? So this is from one of the examples of PHP running, and you know, we had multiple hundreds of PHP in that application, and you can just basically click on one of the PHPs and say, here, it was executing index.php PHP page. How long the process been up for? Here's the call stack, right? What are the modules that are loaded? And then here's the fantastic part, is the handles, and then it gives you information about on that PHP process, what functions were called when they were executing, what is the line of code. And then I'll show you one of the examples of a real-life customer and who benefited from this too. But this is very, very useful information to actually not only just get to the root of the problem, but actually try and solve it too. All right. So let's go back to this. Again, I know in diagnostics we support a bunch of things. You can configure that in the settings. And we just make sure I have enough time for that. So we'll just go for the third demo, one more, mainly on the PHP side. Okay, and there is a website called PHP demo. I'm just going to go and browse through it for now. So we go here, let me change this to, okay. It's a very, very simple website. It just basically tries to talk to MySQL DB free database on every single call, right? So here's a simple website. It talks to my DB database on every single call. And what I want to do, I want to go ahead and start a load test on this site. The reason I want to do this is because I know when I do that, the DB a free edition only allows a 4 concurrent connections, and then I will start seeing my requests for not being able to connect to the DB, and I want to see what kind of BI that I can build out of it, right? So I'll go ahead and start the load test. Okay, now on this specific site, I'll go to the SCM endpoint. Okay, or again, always selected from while we're waiting for that site to come up, what I want to show you guys, one thing that I've got here is totally easy. You see here, this little notification that tells me one of my site is unhealthy. That is notification that we built in for support portal, right? Which basically the attempt here is to try and cover the last category of issue that I briefly touched on, which was the platform issues. Whenever there is an ongoing live set happening that might be impacting your website or might not be impacting your website or something along those lines, and we try and basically gather information on our site and try and communicate that proactively back to you saying, hey, here's what we think is happening, etc. So I click on this, see in this subscription for this specific site. It tells me this site might be affected. You have no issue with this site now because it's in a shared mode and we can't gather more information. But if the site were to be in a standard mode, we would have a data from our synthetic transaction, the canary transaction. And based on all the stuff that is happening and the algorithm that we run, we try and tell you whether the issue is on your side or our side, or we cannot determine something at this point. But this site in my subscription is having some issues at this point. All right. So the PHP, this has come up, right? And I basically started doing this load test. Let me just go back to support portal. And you will start seeing that in Observe. Yes, the load has been coming pretty steady. What I want to do is I want to go ahead and at this point click on the ClearDB tab. This is a collaboration that we've done with the ClearDB where it just basically tries and looks at my database and give me some information. Let me just go back to the Chrome because here's I have a caching issue on the other side. So I'm going to go back here and then click on ClearDB and refresh, analyze ClearDB, and you see what it's doing is testing connection times. So at this point, it's basically making an outbound connection from the Azure VM to the ClearDB just to make sure there are no connectivity problems, right? And it reports stuff back. It's saying, you know, the database seems to be healthy. There were no connectivity problems. ClearDB basically updates their own status. ClearDB database or their clusters are healthy. They don't have any live site or any issue going on at this point. The connection attempts that we made, it came back in these many, many seconds. The maximum connections allowed for this DB are 4, the size that I've used or whatnot, right? And you get the gist of it, right? So at this point, I'm going to go ahead and refresh this one more time. And see what all it is able to tell me the outstanding connections. Now we'll just go ahead and move on to show you the DAS part of it, right? So in this situation, I could have run the DAS right here. It tells me what all the open connections are and what the invoice. And I get, if the application is failing at that point, I should know because I'm running 3 to the max is 4. I'm already at 4. Any other one after that is going to fail from that point on, right? So I go back, again, in the interest of time, I've already ran a one session on this previously. Yeah, just for the PHP error logs. So it found the error log, and it did try to do the analysis on it. And let's see what it's showing. If I click on it, it tells you here, you know, I ran, at that time the issue was happening, I ran the logs, the analysis on the log, and I'm finding that you have exceeded the max user connections, and that is why everything is failing, and it has been happening for the last 3,295 times. And that's that, right? It tells you the line number, what you need to go ahead and fix, and you get the gist of it, right? All right, so that's that for the PHP demo. We briefly talked about the notifications, and we keep on adding more and more stuff into the space, and you will see more features coming every now and then. But one last thing, if none of this helps, and if you really think it's a platform issue and you really want to report that to Microsoft without paying Microsoft for support or something, just click on Need Help. Right, and go ahead and fill out your information, which subscription you would have an issue with, right? What is your email address? Which site you've been having an issue with? What category of issue did you think you are having issues, publishing, availability, billing, whatnot, right? Specify subject and send it. And when you hit send, this email basically goes to my team. Sorry, I can't, let me just minimize because the... Yeah. You can just basically go ahead and send email from here, and then this email will come to my servicing team, and they will basically start looking into issue. If this were to be a live set of service specific issue, they will work on it right away. If this is an application issue or something that they feel you should work with Microsoft support, they will politely ask you to go and work with the support team and take it from there on. But the team's pretty responsive, and it's been very helpful there as well. It's just like any portal. You can sign up, log in with whichever account that you want, choose any subscription, and take it from that point on. I think I've covered pretty much everything on the support side as well. So let me just go back to the slides and see what's next. All right. So. Moving on, right? Some of the real-life examples, one of them, the .NET one I already showed you guys. Let me just share my screen and show you guys one more on the PHP side while we were just talking about it. So, right, in the PHP, this is one of the customers who was basically complaining about the slow install on the PHP, and we just basically ran the DAS, and he built a report for that PHP process, and it tells me right off the bat right here, as you can see in the call stack, which line of code. It seems like a file scan directory function has been stuck in some recursive call. And then when you look at the code for that, you just basically see it's been scanning through the folder of content forever in a loop and trying to read every single file and try and find the language preference or whatnot. And he ended up, he was having about 200,000 plus files inside the directory, and that was actually slowing things down. So it was pretty useful. So what's one single click, and within 5 minutes, he was able to get down to why this slow, to what needs to happen to actually fix the issue. Okay, now we go back to the slides here, and cover the last part of the presentation, which is the auto healing, right? So like I said, there's one specific category of the issue, which is the majority of the time people end up hitting, is the application-specific issues, right? And those are usually due to some application, might be due to platform bug, or sometimes you do website platform itself. But you know, majority of the time, auto recovering from the application is as simple as just restarting your worker process. The process is hosting the application, right? And wouldn't it be cool to basically automatically detect certain conditions and configure the recycle so you don't have to wake up in the middle of the night to do just log on to board and restart your site, right? And for which we basically built a feature that we call it auto healing. And today it allows you to recycle your worker process on a given instance instead of restarting the entire website. So if you have a website running on 10 instances, when you restart the website, the 10 of them starts recycling. But with auto healing, you can basically have a condition check put whichever VM or machine detects that condition, it just goes and recycles worker process on that machine itself without impacting the other 9 machines, right? So very low impact recovery process, right? So again, there's a blog on Azure.com under my name for auto healing where I describe all of them and how to use it in more detail. But at a high level, there are 4 kinds of categories that you can do. We can choose to recycle just on the request count, on the slow requests, the HTTP status code, and the memory limit, right? So let's go ahead and see let's go ahead and see what the settings looks like and where exactly do you actually set them up. So I'm going to go ahead and start presenting again one more time. And then we go back to, we'll use the dash site again, because that has a slow page and I do have a configuration slope there. Okay, so let me just connect to this. I'll stop the site right now because the load's gone and it's probably killed it. Okay, I'm gonna go back here, and here's the demo site, demo DAS. Okay, let's go browse the site, Control-F5. All right, so let me go into the screen, sharing the screen now. So I will go ahead and show you the demo site for the auto healing, which happens to be the same site as the DAS. So let it come up. I go back to the CUDA console command line. Okay, site, www root, again in my web config file, edit, and you will see a section for monitoring under system web server, right? There are a bunch of triggers that you can specify. As we saw in the slides, the first one is request count. It tells you if I hit 5 requests in 30 seconds, go ahead and take an action, right? Or if I hit, you know, your application starts performing bad after, say, 2,000 requests in 30 minutes. If it gets to 2,000 requests in 30 minutes, there's going to be something wrong. Just might as well recycle, right? So you can set the condition. I've commented that up. You can do it on a status code. If I'm getting 500 with a sub-status code of this or a Win30 status code of this, 5 times in last 30 seconds, there is something wrong. Take an action. You can get as creative as you want. Similarly for private bytes, and for this demo, we're doing a slow request, right? What I'm doing here is if any request takes 5 seconds, and if it's just 1 request in the last 30 seconds, I want you to take an action, which is recycle. You can take an action not to recycle, just a log event, or you can choose to say custom action and upload your EXE or send yourself an email or whatever that you want within your sandbox, and it will run that custom action there. So the rule that we have set up here that is active at this point is this. If it takes 5 seconds, 1 request in 30 seconds, go and recycle. I'm going to go to Process Explorer just to make sure we have 2 processes up and running for this site. We've got WTWP, where I see him in this. So 3100 is the PID for that process, right? So let's go ahead and kick the rule off and see if we can actually do this. So I'm going to go here and browse to the site. Right? And then our famous all product page that definitely takes more than 5 seconds. And the rule gets evaluated at the end of the 30 seconds, and it's going to go ahead and take the action, right? So let's wait for this page to come up. It definitely takes more than 5 seconds. And then we can refresh here and see the outcome. This process should go away. if I had the always on turned on, it will start the new process for me automatically, which I would recommend having always on turned on if you'd be using the auto healing. Otherwise, when the first request comes to the page, you will see it come up too. So it's still spinning. All right, the page came up. It takes about a little bit for the thing to kick off. I can click refresh. In 30 seconds, it should just go away. And then while this is waiting for that to go away, I will show you it logs. When you do the recycle, it also logs an event into the event viewer. So I go to analyze event viewer and then wait for this to come up. This is refresh. Okay, you're here. There's the warning on that side. Basically, the warning says the worker process is recycled due to slow request driven, right? And then you will have a similar warnings for different rules that you end up setting up there, and that's that, right? So, okay. Any questions? I think we're taking those questions at this point. I don't have anything else to show, and we're about have about 10 minutes left for Q&A.
Thank you very much, Apoorva, for addressing this important topic. Just a quick reminder to our attendees that we will be sending our webinar recording tomorrow. We have a question from Randy. What about Java?
So it's a great question, right? So Java, right now we are in a process of writing those parsers in the collector. We do have a POC running, and I will be shortly shipping that out in a few weeks from now for customers to test. So this is in our pipeline, and so Java, Node.js, we're going to take care of all the runtime versions or the languages that we support on our platform. So it is in pipeline, and it's coming soon.
Thank you, Apoorva. We have another question from Peter. Can we get the direct links to the mentioned log posts and code samples?
Directly to which code samples? I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
Yes. Can we get the direct links to the mentioned log posts and code samples? I think you mentioned in your presentation.
Direct link to the code samples for this presentation? Sorry, I'm not following the question. So, yeah, I will share out the presentation and the code samples if you like for this specific presentation. Yes. Did I answer the question? Sorry.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
So we have another question from Christian. I'm new in Azure, and I'm Joomla administrator with several websites experience. How can I use Azure to improve my work?
So you're an administrator for several websites in Azure, and how can you use the Azure website basically to improve your work, right? So, okay, well, there's a separate scenario. This is a very broad question. There are things that it depends on the work that you're trying to do with the website, right? If it's just the monitoring or managing, we do have support for RBAC, role-based access security, where you can choose to delegate certain amount of management work or monitoring work to the individual owners or whatnot. If you were to be just talking about monitoring and troubleshooting all the websites for this specific session that we talked about using Support Portal, you can do that pretty much today, right? So as long as all those sites and subscriptions, you're the administrator, you just log on to the Azure portal, Support Portal, using those credentials, and you will be able to monitor every single website from one single dashboard and do whatever we just talked about for any given website today? Hope that answers the question.
Christian, do you have any other questions? Apoorva, I think you answered Christian's questions. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any other questions? Feel free to type your questions in widget. We will be hanging out for 5 more minutes, so feel free to type in. It looks like we don't have more questions, so we're ready to conclude. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and thank you, Apoorva, for this interesting topic. See you next time on our webinars. Bye.
Thank you.